listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, weeping in the Batcave while emo Nirvana plays on speakers. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul here as well, losing his investments in throat lozenges because he misses Christian Bale. Like, what's going on here?
I'm Mike Finkelstein.
I did this for you.
Pray to me.
Oh, tangents, oh my god. So we are going to finally be discussing in detail The Batman, Matt Reeves' reboot of the Batman universe that is now officially part of the Batman epic crime saga, also taking into account The Penguin and The Batman Part 2 and whatever other fucking shows they decide to tie into this whole thing.
Yeah.
When we've mentioned this movie in the past on the podcast, I've bitched about the fact that I didn't like it. I know you like this movie a lot,
yes,
and yeah. I had so many issues with it. So a month or so back, you had me go and watch it, and I even wrote a review for this on the website, so you can go see more of my thoughts that we don't get to. But I know we wanted to discuss it specifically on the podcast, so I watched it for this, and so we get to discuss it. And my thoughts are, it's better than I felt before. I still don't like it.
I really liked this movie.
I know.
Watched it again when we said, and I still liked this movie. I really just loved Gotham in this movie and the place that they built. Like, Batman, Robert Pattinson did a fine job. I thought he was okay. Zoe Kravitz did a fine job too. But the world of Gotham felt like such a piece of shithole like, I felt like the people that live there, like, this world made them the way they are. And that's what I really appreciated about it.
It definitely felt like the portion of Gotham that we got to see in this movie was, like, living in the Narrows from Batman Begins. It was, like, all of that distilled into one really shitty city. And I know that's the theme they're going with, because that's how it is in The Penguin as well. It's just really run down, really gross, like corrupt on the outside, like the government is corrupt on the inside. So I get that. Mm-hmm. It's all supposed to be just really nasty. And I think going through it, my issue is that for all the times that it does little jokes, like when there's a thumb drive with a dead thumb hanging off of it, or things of that nature, for the times where it really tries to make Batman into a detective, unlike how he acted in Batman v Superman or Justice League, for all those times that it did it, there's still a certain amount of gusto that's missing for this character. And I think the problem I have stems from the fact that they want this to be a Batman Year 2, where Batman hasn't even figured out how to balance his life as Bruce Wayne with being Batman. So he's just depressed all the fucking time. And he's not a fun character to watch.
He's not. I'll give you that. He broods in this movie from start to finish.
Wow.
And it is very much just like, I didn't see any of the Twilight movies, but I felt like it was that kind of teen angst brought to this version of Bruce Wayne. And I'm not shitting on his portrayal. I actually liked it. It made sense for that character and what they were about. Like, that's where it worked. But it was definitely like a little broody bitch Batman that I'm very not used to seeing and did not expect. And to your point, like, I can appreciate a little bit the mistakes that he was making, because I think that he is trying to still figure it out. And, you know, and maybe the YouTube cut that I had and I've seen, that I hope you saw too, of the little like 5-minute conversation between him and Joker that didn't make it into the movie, that I really hope we get more on. Like the dynamic there, like, made me want more of this character too. So as much as I liked the movie, there were other things outside the movie that influenced, I think, my feelings as well to how much I liked it as a whole. The fact that I didn't get that made me wanting more. And maybe that was smart by them, because I was seriously buying into it.
So we just talked about Superman, and we discussed the fact that that movie maybe begins a little too far into the story. Yeah. I feel like the Batman, by comparison, starts too early into the story. Because, like, he hasn't figured out how he really wants to even be Batman. He's still discussing, like, am I a beacon of hope? Which the movie decides to settle on, yes, he is, but no, he's Batman. I'm not certain the movie quite understands Batman yet, but it's a thing of, he starts so early that we aren't really seeing him as Batman yet, really figuring himself out yet. I felt like Christian Bale's Batman in Batman Begins had a better sense of who he needed to be Batman, because he spent 7 years not being Batman, just being a criminal to understand them, that this Batman feels earlier on his journey, despite dressing up like a bat and going and kicking the shit out of people. And it's too early for us to really feel like he's a character worth watching yet. He's got the fancy gadgets, he has the car he's built, he's got the cave, he's got the butler, he has the tropes of being Batman, but he doesn't have the personality yet. And it, like, it makes him, like, James Gordon trusts him and thinks he's doing a great job. Why? The guy we're seeing right now is a hollowed out shell of a man that isn't even personable enough to be Edward on Twilight. Like, he's he's not interesting to watch, and the movie's built around him. Like, we're
look at the sadness in his eyes, Jim. Like, how do you trust this man so much?
Yeah. Why are you so committed to it when I'm not even certain I trust this guy yet? Like, Jim, what are you seeing? Because you aren't telling me that.
No one on the police force trusts the guy.
No, but that's the right call.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, to your point, does have a little bit of an identity crisis between, like, is he the Batman or is he just a vigilante at first? He just throws you, I'm Batman. But he feels much more in the beginning like just a vigilante figuring it out. Like, I'll give you that. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
And that's an issue I think I have with this now. Now, like, two or three movies from now, if they decide to tackle, like, Robin, one of the Robins, and, like, we get a Dick Grayson that's, like, struggling and really hurt and is a hollowed-out shell of a person, at least we can then relate back to this movie and be like, he can be like, yes, I went through this as well, and I understand what you're doing. Like, I get this. Like, that's fine. He can relate to Dick and help pull him out of that. It's a good mirror, but we're not there yet, and there's no guarantee we're ever going to get that, because the Batman movies seem to be afraid of ever doing anything with Robin. So,
I mean, like, I don't think we're going to get Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get Chris O'Donnell out. No.
No.
I want to like this movie. I like the set production, although I'm going to be honest with you, the Wayne Manor being, like, the interior of a gothic bat cage is just the weirdest fucking set design. Like,
that it was an odd choice.
It was a choice, that's for sure.
Yeah, like, it was an odd choice. Yeah, that was odd. Yeah. I'll give you that. That was odd.
There's not enough personality to Robert Pattinson's Batman, and I don't think it's a flaw of Robert Pattinson. Yes, I don't like him in the Twilight movies, but that's because the Twilight movies are awful. But, like, I just recently watched Mickey 17, and the dude can fucking act. Like, he plays two different versions of his character, and there's so much nuance to those performances and so different in personality. You're sitting going, this guy actually knows what he's doing. The Batman doesn't use that very well. Like, I want you to look hollow and empty. Okay.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Just staring off into the distance. I'm sorry, I lost myself for a second there.
Oh my god. Matt Reeves, can I get some direction? Just brood.
Brood. I need you to brood more. Brood. No. Look like Keanu Reeves, but like you're really sad.
Like, yeah, look like a really pathetic John Wick. Yeah.
So that's the thing. And I know people like Riddler, but Riddler didn't feel like Riddler to me. Riddler felt like a bad version of Jigsaw.
He was very Jigsaw-like. It was almost like it felt like they were almost trying to roll Riddler and Joker almost into some kind of hybrid villain.
Yeah.
I thought that's where they were going with it for a period of time, but then he's like, nope, he's the Riddler. I'm like, okay, like, this is a different take on Riddler. This is not your Jim Carrey. This ain't your dad's Riddler.
And that's an issue. Like, it doesn't feel like the movie really wants to adapt Batman. It wants to take the names and adapt something else that's tangentially related. Like, if they'd decided to make Calendar Man this villain, and he's, like, sending Batman notes about dates and so forth, I wouldn't have had as big a problem, because that's not a character that's so firmly established in our minds about how he's supposed to act and think and everything else. Like, oh my god, the evil Condiment King is going around killing people like a serial killer. Sure, whatever, dissolve them in ketchup. I think that's hilarious. But, like, that's not this movie. This movie really wanted Riddler to be, like, a crazy MRA serial killer. And that's not the Riddler.
It's not. And it's an interesting take on it. And I appreciated the different view of a very comedic slapstick character of a villain. Like, you know, Jim Carrey's version, all the way down to the one from the 60s with Adam West. He's just a goof. Sure. You know, he's a goof. That's who he is.
But there have been adaptations of him that have made him scary without losing that core essence of himself. And that's what I think was missing here. This was a Riddler that didn't have his core essence to him. Like,
there wasn't humor there.
There was no humor to it whatsoever. And, like, you don't have to have a lot of humor, but you can have some really dry, dark wit to it. I've referenced this before, and you've agreed with me on this. Fight Club has a really dry, dark wit. And honestly, it nails the dark and dank tone that this movie was going for while still balancing really weird elements. And not to make it sound weird, I could use a little more Fight Club in my Batman movie.
You know what? You're not wrong. There's a grit to that movie that, like, you know, whether it's the way it's shot, the cinematography, that just this rawness to it that, you know, sometimes a movie can be just a little too polished, especially if you're going for that real raw feel.
Yeah.
You know?
And this is that kind of weird vibe here where it's maybe a little too polished, but not. But it also takes some leaps of logic, but not. And it, like, shorthands characters, even though we're starting at the very beginning of a journey. It's uneven. Right. There are parts that I really do enjoy. I think despite the fact that Riddler is not the right character to use for this, the villain's storyline and how it pushes Batman forward to becoming a hero is a valid story to tell.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. The history, like, between those two that, like, you were unpacking as the movie unfolds, which was part of the mystery, which was pretty cool. I did like the little breadcrumbs you got along the way to see, like, why he feels this way. And then, like, when Riddler, like, sees that, like, he's just not being understood, like, that really fucks him up. Like, he thought, like, this guy understood who he was and what he was doing and his purpose. And, like, this, like, this just shatters him. And, like, you see him just lose his shit. And I'm like, the acting by Paul Dano was very good. The character, I get it. Questionable as a Riddler, questionable with some of the tactics and all that. But if you're going to give me a Riddler that is that kind of a character, I thought Paul Dano did the best he could with what he had, for sure.
For sure, for sure. I certainly agree with you that it feels like a Joker hybrid. Because, like, this Riddler is doing, like, he has a plan and he's built stuff out. And he has this whole, like, clues and everything. And he feels like he's, like, the same side of the coin as Batman, and that they're joined at the hip. Most of all that right there that we just described is Joker. Sure, Riddler can have a plan, and he can have his clues and everything, but he's a little more ostentatious in different ways. Like, this plan that he had here would almost, for the Batman to solve, would almost have been coming from Heath Ledger's Joker over in The Dark Knight. You could see him doing this and leaving all these clues, and if Batman doesn't figure out, he just laughs to himself and waits, you know? Like, that's that kind of plan. It doesn't quite suit. I'm also just kind of irritated that Batman and James Gordon are just really bad at their jobs.
I really liked Jeffrey Wright, though, as Gordon. I love Jeffrey Wright as an actor.
His performance is good.
He's fantastic. His performance is good. But yeah, the you needed a little more understanding of why they trust each other so much, I guess. You know? You know from the history, but why these two? You know, and why does Gordon not listen to everybody else telling him that this guy's a piece of shit, don't listen to him kind of thing? And Gordon's got no problem bringing him in and showing him all the stuff.
What case did you guys work that proved this, guys? I need to know this little bit of detail. And you don't even, like, tell us about it. It's just like, yeah, he's cool. He's with me. Whatever.
Which is why I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is why I'm hoping that little YouTube deleted scene we got of Batman and the Joker, actual Joker, having their conversation. Maybe it's Gordon and the Batman bringing that guy in, and that's why they trust each other, and maybe that's why I'm hopeful as well.
That makes sense.
You know, we'll see, because something had to have happened to make, you know, he's not the commissioner, he's a captain or something right now. I can't remember
Lieutenant,
exactly.
Maybe
what he
I don't know.
Lieutenant,
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
He's not Commissioner Gordon right now,
not
by
yet.
Far.
No, he's got a few ranks. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he might just be Detective Gordon. Like, I don't really remember, but, like, why do you trust this guy who's in a suit, dressed up, hiding his identity versus all the people that you should be trusting with your life? Like,
yeah,
I need to know why.
Yeah,
and that's a fair criticism for sure.
Well, and then I know I put this in my article and I bitched to you about this after I first watched it, but there's a couple key scenes that stood out to me about, like, being really dumb and make Jim Gordon and the Batman look really stupid. For instance, that thumb drive scene. You get a thumb drive from a villain, and you immediately put it into your work laptop, James Gordon, and the Batman doesn't stop you from doing that, and then you act surprised that it immediately spreads a virus. Like,
yeah.
you're kind of stupid, because that's IT security 101. Do we need to have you go back through Know Before and, like, relearn your basics? Are you getting phished, James Gordon? Do you open every link in your emails? Like...
He is not the kind of person to check a hyperlink, I can tell you that.
Right?
Much.
No, like, he's sitting there going, this seems trustworthy. Click this. Oh, I fill out a form? You need my badge number and social security? Sure, why not? Yeah. James, come on. And then the fact that the Batman doesn't go, I have a secure laptop on my bike. Let's use that instead. No, like, come on, man. Just figure this shit out. But there's the other one. So they get into a gunfight with the Penguin, who they have at a crime scene. With a dead girl in a car. Now, it's not the Penguin's car, but the Penguin is there working with the dude who killed the girl. And then the Penguin drives off after shooting at the cops, Batman and James Gordon, and causes a massive pileup in the highway where trucks explode and everything else, and the Batman captures him. They drag him back to a warehouse, have him handcuffed, interrogate him, and then after they're done interrogating him, James Gordon and the Batman drive off. I get that the Batman has shit to do. James, you just watched him shoot at you and cause a massive pileup on the highway. I think he's committed some crimes you can prosecute him for.
Probably, but I mean, this is the world of Gotham. You need shitholes inside your shithole to cover shit for your shithole.
No, so I get maybe that. I get it. But he's a made man. If he's going to get off from it, at least have a scene of him being dragged into the police department and then the charges being dropped. Don't just be like, you're good, son. We're just going to walk away now. Like,
that's true. And, you know, I agree with you there. But I and maybe there's something to that of like, we're making sure we're letting him go, and now his people will wonder, like, did he give us something kind of thing, and we can use that, like, fourth dimensional chess kind of shit. Maybe I'm giving it too much credit.
Think
but
you
that's
are.
Just because I love Jeff. That's because I love Jeffrey Wright.
Because if they're playing three-dimensional chess, or four-dimensional, or eight-dimensional, whatever, they're playing tiers above what you're expecting, then the Batman, who sees that carpet scraper and doesn't know it's a carpet scraper, should immediately put that, draw that shape on a piece of paper and have it searching through the internet so that on his bat computer, so that he can figure out it's a carpet scraper, so that when he finds the villain's home, his first thought about seeing a grungy green carpet is, maybe I should carpet scraper that. Like, really?
This is not Christian Bale shooting bullets that look identical holes in bricks to try to match one up.
No, that's fair. Like, Christian Bale, like, as dumb as that sequence was, because how are you going to reconstruct a bullet like that? That was a bit of fictional, like, let's just have some things to move the movie forward. At least it showed him being a detective. This was the dude going, oh, that looks like a tool. Okay, we're moving on now. So,
I mean, fair criticism. But so, I didn't know what it was either, so, like, at least I was surprised.
But here's the thing, we're not the Batman!
We're not supposed to,
We're not the dude that's considered the world's greatest detective, and apparently right now, neither is he, because his knowledge and his internet security are bad.
he's just still figuring it out, man.
He's winging it. He's just...
high hope.
Like, I get it. It's you want to call it a year zero or a year one or a year two or whatever. Sure, fine. He's starting off. I need more from him in the next one. I need him to be personable. I need a little Bruce Wayne that isn't just a broody Nirvana fan. I need him to actually show some detective work that feels like he's being a detective. And that's not this movie, and that's what holds it back.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like, and I don't want to hate on this movie. Like, it's a C+ for me. I think a second, like, the Penguin is fantastic. I loved the Penguin. That was like a B+, A-, because, you know, I'm always going to bitch about shit. But the world is getting built well. The world of this, the Batman epic crime saga, which is what they call it. Sure. Okay. I'm still on board because Penguin was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Batman 2, Electric Boogaloo with bats, needs to be better for me to continue.
You're right. It does. It does need to be better. You really need to, like... I think it's important to get, you said something that stuck with me. You got to see Bruce Wayne in this one.
Yeah.
We got a lot of Batman in this one, very little Bruce. And I'm buying this version of a Batman. I am not sure how I'm going to feel about this version of Bruce Wayne if he's going to be sitting in a corner crying all the time.
Yeah.
That confuses me.
We need Bruce to move from that.
he's got to be the face. You know, he's the playboy. He's the rich kid. He's the one that is trying to be philanthropic. Like, that's who he is. And he didn't play that at all here. And to the year one thought, maybe. Maybe in the next movie we get more. But they got to grow Bruce as a character. They can't just lean into more broody Batman.
No,
that's fair.
Yeah, I can't take another 3 hours, because this was 3 hours fucking long.
It's a long movie.
It is. I can't take another 3 hours of him sitting with his flannel in the Batcave going, oh my god, my parents were evil. Alfred, get me a sandwich and then don't talk to me. No, I can't do that.
Criticisms are fair. I still think this movie is a solid B+ for me. It was an A out the gate. I saw it 3 times in the theater with my friends.
Damn!
Like, we saw it about that. Yeah, we loved this movie. But upon rewatch, there are holes and there are flaws. And there are things that have happened after the fact, like the penguin, like the deleted scenes, and my anticipation for what could continue to go, that made me feel, I think, a little bit more
lower.
A little lower at the end of the day. But that's not to say I don't love it. I think this movie is still fantastic, especially the way DC's dropped the ball left and right over the years. So I'm hopeful that we're going to see something better in the second one. Mm-hmm. And I need an actual Joker this time.
Yeah. And, I mean, I still think this is miles better than what we got in fucking The Joker and Joker Folie à Deux, which was a disappointing movie followed up by a massive disappointment. Oh, my God, that was a train wreck of epic proportions.
I'm still not sure why people loved it. I couldn't get through it, and I didn't even bother with the second one.
Thank you. Okay, so you've actually tried to do Joker more now. Yeah, it's so bad.
I just can't do it. No. Like, and I don't know. Maybe I'll try a third time, but I can't get through the first act. I just can't. I'm bored.
If you can get through it, we'll go back and revisit. Because we did do a Joker talk, but we didn't really touch upon that film too much because I hated it and you didn't watch it. We can go back and discuss it. Don't even bother with Folie à Deux because you're not going to get past the first 15 minutes. It's really bad. But if you can at least get through the first movie, I'll watch it again and we can discuss.
Okay, you have my commitment to try to get through that movie. It won a fucking Academy Award. It should be good. I didn't love it.
I'm not on board with it. I don't think I really like Todd Phillips, who did like The Hangover and Road Trip.
I'm looking at that. Yeah, Starsky and Hutch, old school. Yeah,
I just don't like his movies. I didn't really like our old school. I didn't really like Starsky and Hutch. I think his vision doesn't work for me, and it especially didn't work on Joker because, I mean, it's not the Joker. It definitely isn't comic book Joker, but it's not the Joker. It's just a sad, depressed dude that eventually has a maniacal laugh and kills people. And, like, does that align with this Batman, even though they're in different cinematic universes? Sure, but I can't tolerate that much of it. What is with sad Batman characters? Like, can we just be a little happy? Just a little?
And I mean, I don't know. Like, Batman's always been sad in a way. So,
but
I don't know. Maybe
it. And honestly, he does. I didn't think the Bruce Wayne in Batman Begins was that sad. He was driven and motivated, but his dialogue with Alfred was sassy.
Yeah, and in the second movie, he was much more that playboy, that philanthropist. You saw three different versions of Bruce on your way through that trilogy there by Christopher Nolan, now that I'm thinking about it. So,
yeah, I just need more sassy Batman.
Top marks still to this day. Top marks still to this day. What a trilogy.
So, well, first two, certainly, anyway.
Third one's fine. Yeah,
it's a week.
It's fine. It's a week finale.
The third one, you definitely feel the lack of Heath Ledger. Like, you know, he would have been in it if he were still alive, and that gap in that movie is felt.
It is, and you know, we can talk about it if we haven't already at some other point. But like the time skip there and everything, like it wasn't the story that they wanted to tell, but they did tie it up okay.
And it does feel like this Batman, the Batman. Yeah, it's trying to be like an early similar kind of exploration of him figuring it out without doing the same plot, which I guess is respectable. You didn't do the origin story, but we know the origin story, but you're still starting early enough. It doesn't gel for me. It just doesn't gel.
Yeah. So. Let's see how they do in the next one. Like, I really like this movie. I still liked it upon rewatch. Your criticisms are 100% fair. Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. But we'll see. Like, we'll see. I have hopes for what this can be. And I really want to see this little tease of the Joker that we got. Because I want to see that relationship, that dynamic between those two. I really do.
Penguin definitely gives me hope that there's more to do with this than just Brood.
Yeah, agreed.
So we'll see. the Batman Part 2 comes out in a couple years, and I'm sure we'll do a podcast for it at that point, because we're locked in now.
Yeah, well, no this escaping. Is it. You're here with us for the long haul, and for the lifetime.
There's a whole DC universe we have to cover until it ends. It just like, started.
There's going to be two more DC universes by the time we finish doing this.
Oh, my God.
But anyway.
Anyway.
Good movie. I liked it.
Yep. No, I get why people like it. I understand why it didn't gel for me, but that doesn't mean I have to be the only opinion. And obviously, you liked it, so there's something there. So.
Yeah.
Yep. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, brooding its way through the multiverse. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna go and brood his way to get some dinner, actually.
But not Domino's.
Not Domino's.
We will see you all next time.